WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. No, this is not a drill. No, this is not a joke. And no, this is not Thursday. This is it's not even Saturday. It's Friday. I'm all discombobulated because they put it on the wrong goddamn day. And we are here to talk all about NXT TakeOver, which just finished. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, /co-host/handyman, Sir Rockin. And, well, we have some other guests that need intros.
We'll get to them in a second, yes. You're listening here at WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or on Twitch.tv/WTLive. You can interact with us at WildTalkRadio, at RackRadioShow, or at Lindsay Ward on Twitter, or come to the websites just mentioned. We have Devil's Fan listening to us as he's listening to get into Black Craft Wrestling. So, hi.
How's it going, Devil's Fan? Are you having fun? Have you seen? Tell us. I want to know everything.
So you can type that in the chat there. But Lindsay has mentioned we are not alone on this venture. We have
the NXT analyst, TJ Bellomega.
Why have you brought me on? I have nothing left.
You're spent?
Beyond.
My goodness. Gotta work on your stamina.
I think I'm gonna put in a bit of a marathon regiment on Sunday.
Go refill your beer tap. You'll be good.
Yep.
It'll be good.
From 20,000 leagues under the sea, the busiest shark of them all, the assistant to the assistant regional shark, intern shark Kane Kittens.
That's right. I am actually at work right now.
We're shocked.
This is my shocked face.
Day 1,993.
You keep saying it like you should be proud.
No, it's saying it that way prevents me from crying. So.
Are we sure? Are we positive?
Yes, but at least this show made it easier to stay here because holy shit.
You do realize you're the one who controls the fate where you can go, hey, tomorrow you take a day off.
But
you,
tomorrow I actually have a report I need to run and push applications and stuff.
But hey, you know.
Just seriously, hit day 2000, say you're cashing in all of your built up days, and you know, I'll see you in 2021.
Do you want to know how many sick days
no,
I have on record?
No, we don't have time for this. There's too many. There's too many to count.
Yeah, we have too many to count, and we have too much to talk about because, y'all, we had a pay-per-view tonight.
Network special.
Network. No, I will call it a pay-per-view till the day I die because that's what I've been conditioned to say for forever.
You're going to be reconditioned. It's a network special. They're all network specials except when they call them the Royal Rumble pay-per-view or things like this. But this is a network special.
Whatever. Anyway, we have a thing,
a live event
that aired on the network that we have to discuss.
And holy crap, was the show. This was a show. This was a hell of a show. And boy, oh boy, they delivered. Shocker.
It's a takeover. Is it ever bad? I mean,
it's a takeover on WrestleMania weekend.
Mm-hmm. Is it ever bad?
We actually discussed how they could make a bad takeover. If they
if
they follow the WWE technique of throwing in filler matches, it would be a bad takeover. But since they don't throw in bad matches, every takeover is fine.
I like how takeover is just direct to the point. It's like, these are the people we know you want to see, so here you go.
There are no fillers.
Yeah, this was a 3-hour show, and every single moment of it was important.
Yeah.
And every single moment of it, more or less, was really good.
It was. It really, really was.
So, let's get into, I say we jump into it?
Yeah, let's get into it. So we started off with the War Raiders taking on Aleister Black and...
Aleister Cole.
I saw Adam Cole's face on the screen, so I was like, wait, Aleister Black and Ricochet. So Lindsay made sure to spot her, so talk about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, Ro got the wifey in again.
It's a Viking entrance. Did you think she wouldn't let him go without that?
Well, I don't think there was any let in that. I think it was, no, I'm doing it. But baby, no, I'm doing it. You don't understand. Just go get the outfit.
Where am I going? Well, you see, Papa Hunter said, no, tell me where I am.
So the stage...
Here's your drum.
Yeah, the stage gave birth as the War Raiders came crawling out from it.
They did! They legit did! Like, they didn't walk out. They just kind of crawled up through the stage in the fog because it's covered in fog and there's a red light. And all of a sudden, here comes Ro just out of the fog. And it was a really cool effect. But it's like, wait, what is going on right now? Is the stage giving birth to Vikings? I'm confused. I'm very confused right now because then Hansen popped out and it's like, oh God, somehow that's worse.
So, it had to be a difficult birth with those antlers.
Right? Because they had horns and antlers and hair and things.
So, yeah.
I mean, the outfits were cool, don't get me wrong, it was weird. It was a little weird.
That was great. We had Ro and Black have sort of a mutual friendship in the match. A little bit of respect of I'm going to block your move and I'm going to block your move and we're just going to stand there and look at each other and stare at each other and go, yep. I could have knocked you out, but I didn't.
Basically, this was a match where it wasn't, they hate each other or they're fighting for any particular aggressive reason beyond Black and Ricochet want the titles. So it's, we're not fighting you because we hate you, we're fighting you because you won the Dusty Classic, and so here you go, here's your shot. So there was a lot of respect shown in this match before, during, and really after, because this also kind of served as Aleister and Ricochet's swan song a little bit.
It really did, and we'll get to that in a minute. But Brent Hansen's my new favorite wrestler.
Hansen gives fat boys all around the world hope. Like, it was a match of pairings because it was always Ro and Black.
Mm-hmm.
They're the strikers, and they just wanted to beat the ever-living hell out of each other, and good job on that. And then you had Ricochet and Hansen, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, are the high flyers of the group.
That was exactly what Morrow said.
To which the spot I think that signified it was you had both of them going off the ropes. You had Ricochet do the handstand bounce. I want to say Hansen moved. Hansen did the handstand and did the flying elbow back. And it was just one of those, Oh, fat boys around the world are proud.
Yeah, the handspring back elbow. Yep.
Can we talk about the dive off the top turnbuckle?
How terrified! Avalanche? How terrified were those? Were everyone on the outside?
I told Rock, I was like, that was an avalanche. That was a literal avalanche that just occurred.
It got progressively better. It was like, okay, Alistair went over, and then Ro goes through the ropes, and then Ricochet, who was wobbly 10 seconds ago, decides, hey, I'm going to jump over, or I'm going to do, I don't know
I'm
how many
do my thing.
Flips. Yeah, he did like 14 flips, to which I don't know how he's human. And then all of a sudden, Hansen gets over the top rope, and everyone just goes, no.
And then he dives, and everyone catches, yeah. And they're all like, yeah, that's a thing, and oh my god. Yeah, again, Hansen's my new favorite wrestler. That's all I gotta say about
Hansen
it.
Hansen is amazing. And Hansen running back and forth screaming between Alistair and Ricochet as they're, like, stacked up in the corners, and Hansen just running back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, like, six times, just screaming the whole time. That was amazing.
To be fair, about lap number 5, it was starting to hit him a little.
Yeah, he's a little tired at lap number 5.
It's just like, can we stop, please?
But the that point, they're what, 15, 20 minutes into the matchup itself, so it's like, yeah, you can see why he's a little blown up.
Oh, yeah.
He's a little tired.
It was, all he needed was a minute. It was great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love Hansen. Like, I legit love Hansen. He's awesome. I love Ro, too. Don't get me wrong. I love them both, but Hansen, yeah, Hansen is Hansen.
Hansen, two takeovers in a row has shined so brightly. As bright as the light that was blinding half the audience in the upper deck that had to get turned off, where the crowd started chanting, yes, 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 and you deserve it when the light got turned off. That was fantastic.
That was hilarious. Well, I mean, it was so bright, it was picking up on the cameras.
No, then that was a different light that was picking up on the cameras that was throughout the night, because I guess they changed the light, and it's like, this light is distracting on the camera. But hey, at least the crowd doesn't see this light. Yay.
Rock, Lindsay put it best. It wasn't a light, it was Ricochet's smile that was illuminating the crowd.
Okay, Ricochet is adorable. He is absolutely adorable. We need to change his moniker from one and only to Sunshine and Light, because my favorite spot in the whole match, and there's a lot of favorite spots, but this is my favorite spot, is it was towards the beginning where Alistair does the flip off the top rope, or does the flip off the bottom rope, and he goes into the seated position. Ricochet kind of mimicked him, and they both go into that position, and they're both sitting there, and Alistair's grimacing, and he's growling, and he's doing his best grrr face, and then there's Ricochet sitting there smiling like a goddamn Labrador retriever. Like, just happy as a clam. Like, this is cool. This is really cool. And he's, like, smacking Alistair's arm. Like, yeah, isn't this cool? Isn't this fun? And Alistair's like, dude, trying to be cool here. And Ricochet's just happy as hell. Like, I love him. I love him so much. So, yeah, it's like, the light glare is nothing else but Ricochet's adorable smile. Because you don't notice, it went away when Ricochet went away. That's all I'm saying.
So
it was a thing.
The War Raiders ended up retaining the titles. Ricochet looked like he got killed on the finish. So there's that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did.
And I mean, half the stuff Ricochet does looks like it should kill him.
He got checked out by the doctors after the matchup. We didn't see that on screen, but he was checked out by the doctors. Because then we had the final curtain call. We had the battles of respect from both teams. And then Alistair and Ricochet had their final goodbye with the NXT audience. They were tearing up, kind of, sort of.
Oh, no. Ricochet was full out tearing up.
Yeah. Black was keeping it cool. But
yeah, but Black again was just being, you know, like the big brother, just like hold it together. And Ricochet's just, you could tell, was just like, I can't.
He's like, this is so great. This is so amazing. Because, yeah, they got a really nice send off. Everybody hugged after the match. We had the bows of respect. You know, the War Raiders basically wished Black and Ricochet luck, especially at WrestleMania. And yeah, this was a wonderful way to send both men off, and best of luck to them as they move forward. So, but this was a wonderful way to open the show.
It was a great way to open the show. But so far this week, Ricochet and Aleister Black are 0-2 in title matches. 0-2.
And what does it say if they happen to win on the main roster when they couldn't win the Raw belt by themselves and the NXT titles? by themselves.
That they need to split up and go their own separate ways.
Pretty much what it means.
Yeah.
I don't think, I keep saying this, I don't honestly believe that they are meant to be a permanent tag team. I think it's just a way to get them up on the main roster and do it that way. And then that way, like, once they kind of lose their bid, because there was a spot in the match with Rowan Hansen where they're pinning Rowe and they've knocked Hansen out, but Hansen gets back up in the ring and Alistair's got a hold of him. And basically, the way that they described it was Hansen tackles Aleister Black through the pin.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking up the pin between Rowe and Ricochet. So Ricochet, they had it won at one point, and Black basically couldn't stop Hansen, and so they lost ultimately because of that. But so that could be a sticking point if they decide to break him up, or Aleister and Ricochet just could go their own separate ways, and that's it.
Yeah, they could.
And we hear nothing more about it.
And I think that may be just a thing. They may just separate once. They don't win tomorrow when they separate. And
or they could do something like a shake-up between the teams.
One goes and one goes to Raw, one goes to SmackDown.
Funny how that might happen.
Might just happen, that, might just happen that way. All right, we had Viper and Toni Storm in the crowd.
That made me happy. Toni is so adorable.
She had her girlfriend. She had her wife with her. It was amazing.
The wifeys were together. It was great.
And then it was the North American Championship on the line.
Oh my God.
The Velveteen Dream and Matt Riddle, bro.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. There is extra, like there's even extra AF, and then there's the Velveteen Dream, who surpasses all of that, especially tonight, but in general, just surpasses being extra to the point that I don't even know if you could describe it other than he just dreamed it. That's it.
In dream we trust.
It's
in dream we trust, because the dream came out as the Statue of Liberty on his own dais that was being carried to the ring by the wrestling class of what did you say, 2020?
I said it's the future NXT class of 2022.
Yeah, there you go.
This matchup, I had low expectations for it. It shattered them all.
This was really good.
I told you. You don't doubt Dream at this point.
No, it's not doubting him. I just wanted to keep it low, so it's like, okay, let me see what you got. And they delivered.
This could have gone two ways. This could have gone the way that it did, or it could have been Matt Riddle walks out, kicks the Dream in the face, and it's over in a minute. Like, that's legit how it could have gone.
Yeah, it could have. And they spent like 3 minutes just posing. Bro. Dream. Bro. Dream from the crowd. They had the crowd in the palm of their hands and they delivered. Matt Riddle tossed Velveteen Dream around this ring for 15 minutes. That's what happened. And then the Dream hawked up. Am I wrong?
He's not doing he did the Hogan gimmick twice and now he has Hulk powers.
Apparently he does, because that's exactly what he did.
He has Hulk, he has Savage, he's whatever you need him to be, plain and simple.
He is your every first character in any WWE create a wrestler mode.
With a shit ton of personality.
And somehow you hack a new entrance for him every time you play.
The one thing I loved about this match was you finally saw Riddle, not vulnerable, but frustrated beyond belief.
Yeah, this is the first time you actually saw him challenged.
And there were those moments, you know, where he would hit the, you know, the high knee, or, you know, lock in the, and I'm not going to call it by that title, the submission hold that he has.
The bro mission.
I hate you, Rock.
It's lit, bro. It's lit.
But it's like he locked that in, or he would attempt to lock it in, and Dream would have the counter, and you could just see throughout the match he's getting more and more frustrated, and he's starting to slip from the bro character into just almost a rabid animal.
He became the MMA fighter, and he just started fighting and getting into it.
And you heard the crowd turn a little when he started to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's okay, all right, so maybe Matt Riddle isn't as chill as we all think he is, and he's not as cool as we all think he is, and when he's like he's all cool and bro and lit when he doesn't have a challenge, and he can easily beat whoever he's with, but the second somebody can rival him, it's like, oh no, I'm not okay with this. And that's when, and it's a natural reaction, we all kind of get like that when you get up against somebody who pushes us and, you know, kind of forces us to go outside her comfort zone. It's like, well, wait a minute. I'm not okay with this. I'm not happy with this. So it was a nice little turn for him, I feel like.
But they tried everything. They pulled it all out. Matt Riddle did a nice twisting moonsault from the top rope at one point. This was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. It was.
And the bro mission was locked in. And what has become a tradition now, someone sort of flips over and keeps the guy in the submission but gets the pin. And that's what happened. Dream got the win. And
pulled an Ember Moon or Mustafa Ali.
Or Bret Hart.
Yeah.
It's where it originated
from. It's a good spot.
It's a good spot. You know what's not a good spot? The I have to beat the 10 count spot is that in every big time matchup in professional wrestling.
Do not get me started on that. We will get to it later. I have issues with the main event.
Okay. In the opening match, they did that spot, and they at least made it creative where the other two guys rolled in after the first two guys tried to get in. That made it creative. But again, it was already in the first match. It happens at the ending match. But it has to be in every match, at least once a week, that spot. Can we kill that spot?
Well, okay, but they kind of go through these phases with matches where it's like there for a while, it's every match was building to a flip or a jump or a leap or something over the top rope. Like every match, that's what it built to. And now they're in that phase of, okay, all right, well, we have to do a beat the clock type scenario where, you know, you have to get in before the count of 10.
But if you do it once on a show, that's fine. Even though that's too much, but twice or three times on a show is a little too much. Just point.
Oh, out. I don't disagree with that, but I mean, I think that's all they got at this point.
Yeah. So Dream is still champion,
which we're all okay with.
Really good match. We'll see what happens next with all of them. Anything else we need to add about that match?
Just aside from the belt that I put in Brent's head, no.
Lindsay, I hate you.
Bro.
I hate you so much.
Bro.
Can we just keep the belt on Dream so he has an excuse to have gigantic entrances over and over and over?
He doesn't need a belt to have gigantic entrances. You should realize this already.
He came out like the Statue of Liberty was some kind of Greek god.
And?
Like, I want that next level to continue, that's all.
I think he needs to stay where he is in order to do that. I've seen people say he needs to move up. No.
No.
No, you keep his ass right where it is, and you let him be glorious right there.
Yeah, don't send him up, because they're not going to understand him. They're not going to know what to do with him. Just let him be him, let him do his thing, and leave it where he is. Like, the fact that they are acknowledging that certain people need to stay in NXT to be successful is a very positive step, and that just means that some people are going to stay where they are, and Dream is one of them. Dream is a homegrown character that he needs to stay in that format, because honestly, the main roster format, I don't think is going to work for him. He can't be nearly, and I'm going to say it, as edgy on the main shows as what he can do on the network. Because they can get away with just a little bit more on the network, I feel like.
Yeah.
We saw Kushida in the crowd.
What was he doing there?
He's the newest signing to NXT.
Yeah, well, aside from, you know, the video they showed of Triple H and William Regal signing him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But yeah, he'll be starting with the brands here soon.
Yeah, yeah, congratulations to the next Hideo Itami.
Hey.
He could be Shinsuke, don't know.
He could be Shinsuke, could be a thing. Shinsuke was very happy on Twitter that he signed. Anyway, up next, the WWE NXT UK Championship titles.
Oh, God, this match.
Okay. It's Walter and Pete Dunne. Before we get into the match, they had the hashtag NXT UK titles.
There's now more than one.
Titles.
Well, there are tag titles, but they weren't being defended.
It's also the WWE UK title, not the NXT UK titles.
Pete Dunne's been UK champion for so long, we're just going to let him defend all the belts at once.
Why not?
We're duplicating it, so therefore someone else gets a chance.
Yeah, he's the tag team champions. He's the women's champions. Don't ask.
You know, he's snarly enough that he could get away with being women's champion. I mean, realistically, he could.
He just needs to be groomed to become women's champion.
Yeah. Trent and Tyler need to hold him down and just, like, groom him up just a little bit. They can break for tea and whatnot, but yeah, just they just need to, like, take care of that whole...
So, give him a glam up.
Give him a glam up,
So Omega.
Yeah.
What part of Pete Dunne's body does Walter hate the most?
He hates his neck.
And why does he hate the neck?
I don't know.
What was he doing to said neck?
Stomped the shit out of it every chance he got.
Are we going to talk about how the fact that Walter slapped Pete Dunne's nipple off at least 3 times?
Do we want to talk about how Walter slapped Pete Dunne back in time?
I mean, can we just the one slap where he's got Pete laying across the top turnbuckle, and he just comes down with that massive bear mitt of a hand and just thwaps him right there. It's like, good God, I felt that. That just sounded painful.
And then he fell from the top rope to the floor to add punishment to it.
Yeah. Like, Walter just beat the crap out of Pete. Granted, Pete held his own, and Pete got some licks in on Walter. We're not saying he didn't. I will say they went to the finger manipulation one time too many in this match.
Oh, yeah.
That's my only criticism of it is, or one of my only criticisms, I should say, is because it was just like, you had Pete keep going to that, and the problem was is it's like, it just wasn't doing what it normally does. Like, it's because Pete doesn't have to use it as often. Like, he'd lock it in, like, once or twice, and then that's kind of it. But he kept going to that, because, and it was like, every time it just got a little bit more desperate, because it's like, this is all I got. Like, this is the only thing I have to really beat you. And when it's a guy that's got at least a foot on you, and I think they said like 90 or 100 pounds, it ain't gonna be enough, honey. I'm sorry. It ain't gonna be enough to beat him. Just give him the title. Just give it to him.
This was brutal. To me, it could have been 5 minutes shorter and would have made for a better match, because I think it dragged out just a little bit too much. But in the end, it was really good. Walter just destroyed Pete Dunne in this one.
This is as close as WWE has ever gotten to a Japanese strong style match.
I'm sorry, that second rope German suplex just looked sick. It did not look like it was legal.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got dropped legitimately on his head.
Yeah, he did.
And then they replayed it, and it just looked worse.
Yeah, you put that in slow motion, and you're like, ooh.
But after 600-something days, almost 700 days.
685.
685 is the total.
685 days, we have a brand new WWE UK NXT titles holder.
Tittles?
Tittles holder.
Tittles.
Tittles. In Walter. We all kind of expected this one.
It was time.
Yeah. It was beyond. Yeah.
Like, NXT UK has been just begging for someone with star power to come along to be able to take that belt off of Pete convincingly, and Walter definitely fits that.
And after 685 days, something has to end. Hint, hint, wink, wink, Brent.
I don't know what you're talking about, Rock.
Well, I mean, at some point you have to give Pete a rest. Pete has been the company, like, title.
Yeah, it's just wrong to have someone run that long nonstop.
They all.
I'm ignoring the whole subtext to this because I understand what they're talking about. I'm just going to move on. But Brent, you should really think about it. Just saying. Anyway, moving on.
God damn you all.
Moving on. I mean, Pete has picked up the torch, and he carried the torch for UK for almost 2 years. You can't blame him at all. He did a wonderful job, but I mean, I'm sure he needed a break because it's a lot of pressure, and you're going everywhere, and you're doing everything. And the dude and his girlfriend just had a baby not that long ago, so I'm pretty sure he wants to go home and spend time with his daughter, I don't think he's really been able to do a lot of.
And not only that, it's... they now have a brand. He held them out when they didn't have a full brand. Now they do.
Yeah. The one thing also about this is, Lindsay, how old is Pete?
He's like 22? I want to say he's like 23 or 24. No, yeah, Tyler is 22.
Okay, so he's 23
or 24. He's like a year or two older.
He's 25 years old.
25. He's got plenty of time. Let him take a break. He's earned it. Let him, you know, rest up, stay with the kiddo, have him chase a little bit, or ultimately have someone, I don't know, Tyler or someone else that if you can beat Walter, it's going to become an accomplishment now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is little doubt in anybody's mind that Pete will hold that title again. He will for sure hold that title again if he doesn't get moved to the main roster, which I don't think he will. I think they're going to keep him in the UK because I think that's ultimately where he wants to be. He doesn't want to go any further. I'm sure he does actually want to go further than that, but I don't think he wants to necessarily move to the States to do it. So,
and it's not
he's perfectly happy.
And it's not like he can't appear on shows like Rumble, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he can
other things.
He can travel and he can come over for the big shows. And I think he's okay with that. But ultimately, I think he wants to stay in UK. But this match was really good. It was really violent. It was a little slow. They did have some problems just because it's a size difference issue. But they were able to sort of get around it type thing. But yeah, it was just, especially in the beginning, it was kind of like just the size difference alone was a little jarring. That was it. But otherwise, this was a very good match.
Sure.
And thank you, Pete Dunne. That's all I have to say. Thank you, Pete Dunne, for picking up the torch and carrying the torch and, you know, being a wonderful champion. Because he was. And giving us some high-quality matches.
Indeed. All right. Up next, let's see. It's for the NXT Women's title. Oh my god, this was an awesome four-way. They went out there and they delivered. What do you guys think?
Io Shirai is adorable, and we need more of her on our TV.
Yeah, we do. Her gear was amazing. She looked adorable. Kari looked great. Shayna, I love Shayna's gear. I thought it was really good. Bianca was really good in this. She looked like a million bucks. I mean, I can't complain about this match at all. The storytelling, the fact that you had more than one story going on in this match was wonderful.
Yeah, I liked that kind of undertone of the Sky Pirates are helping each other out. They're doing all of these things. And then when they had to take on each other, you saw how much it pained them to do it.
Mm-hmm. But they did it.
Kairi looked like she was about to cry when she broke up that pinfall.
And then when Io had to do the same thing, she just looked at her and it was almost like it's like the Shawn Michaels, I'm sorry, I love you look almost. And you're just like, oh, honey.
But you had that going on. And then you had the whole Bianca-Shayna story going on where it's like Bianca and Shayna, you know, Bianca's trying to beat her because she's got something to prove and Bianca just can't do it. Plus, she's dealing with the two Sky Pirates. So it was like there was a lot of stuff going on that twisted and turned in this. Can we just talk about how beautiful Io Shirai's moonsaults are and just the fact that she can get on the top turnbuckle like it's nothing? Jeez. Like she just hops up there and then she's like, boop!
Mm-hmm. So quick.
No setting, no nothing.
So quick. Just she moves
so
great.
Effortless, too. It's mm-hmm. just, yeah, you blink an eye and she's already up there, you know, perfectly poised to jump. I mean, God, her and Ricochet are cut from the same cloth.
Pretty much, yeah. So, they had a hell of a match. I think we were all kind of surprised at what happened in the end. But go ahead, Omega.
I mean, you gotta think, all four of them had something huge to prove. Everyone in NXT is trying to prove themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, you know, of all weekends, this is the weekend where the main event of all main events in professional wrestling is going to be women for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
So this one was especially important for them to go all out, and I was really happy to see them do it.
One thing I liked overall is they did not drag this match out. They didn't have to go 20, 25, 30 minutes like the guys did. They got their stuff in, they made their point, and they got out. Again, you don't need extra time for you know, this went 16 minutes, basically, and if it went any longer, I think it would have ruined it because there's only so much they can do.
Right.
So, yeah. But I'm surprised Shayna retained.
I did not expect that, because I literally don't know who else they can throw at her now.
I'm sure they will find somebody, but yeah, that was a little shocking unless they're just going to now target one person at Shayna, which they could. And I think at some point they may do Io and Shayna.
I think that's the next.
Again, one-on-one.
I think that's the next singles one.
I mean, I think that's honestly where they're going with it, is they're setting Io up. But yeah, I mean, I was a little stunned that Shayna won, because you would think that she wouldn't, but she did it, and she did it all on her own without the girls. She didn't need the help.
No, she didn't. So Shayna is still your NXT Women's Champion. And then we get to the main event. 2 out of 3 falls for Vacant's NXT Championship. Adam Cole, okay, and Johnny Gargano, a.k.a. Iron Man.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. Johnny Gargano submitted Adam Cole on his missing tooth to win the NXT Championship.
Spoiler.
Absolute goddamn legend.
Someone get Isaac on the phone. We need to get a tooth.
Yeah, I hope Adam Cole got his tooth back. Because no, we're sitting here and we're watching it, and there's a point where they're going for the finish, or they're in the process of going for the finish, and I just see this thing go flying, right? And NXT has the black mat, so anything will show up on it. So I'm sitting there and I was like, I think somebody just lost a tooth. And Rock's like, no, I don't see anything. And then it's like, they cut to where Johnny's getting ready to go to the pin, and I'm like, no, look, there it is. There's tooth on the mat.
Yep, all I see is the tooth, and I look at Adam's mouth, and it's like, oh yeah, he's definitely missing a tooth. Yep, right there, you can see it.
Well, of all people to lose a tooth, I think Adam's in the best position for that, right?
Yeah, yes he is. Yes he is.
Paging
Dr. Baker. It started slow, but then again, it went 38 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was really slow early. It was like, all right, Lindsay was like, we gotta get the second gear. And then it's like, okay, we'll get there. And then it's like, oh yeah, 38 minutes later. Yep, they got there. They got the second, third, fourth, and fifth gear. Yep. They hit them all.
I'm so not used to people taking their time in a 2 out of 3 falls match. Normally it's very rushed, where it's like you go for the first fall and then you go for the second fall. And then you have that really long third fall. So the fact that they went 5 to 10 minutes, 14, it feels like.
14 minutes for the first fall.
15 minutes for the first fall, that they essentially did a full match before the first fall. I greatly appreciate that. I'm just not used to it, because it's like, again, it's always very rushed. So that they did tell that first story with the first fall was really wonderful. And then once they got the first fall, then it kind of increased a little bit, and the pace started to pick up. And then after the second fall, then the pace really picked up, and that's when they started to pull out some of the super spectacular stuff in this match.
And then we have a super kick party.
Fuck your super kick party.
But we did.
I made a mention in the chat, like, at first the match seemed slow. It felt like they were kind of a step behind going from spot to spot. And I was saying, I really hope they find another gear here. And then after the first fall, they found another gear. And then another one. And then another one. And then another one. And then they just started inventing goddamn gears.
They found a box of gears to use.
And their names were Kyle O'Reilly, Roderick Strong.
Well, those are tools, not gears.
Yeah, that's who. They all came out. Everyone from Undisputed Era came out in this matchup. They're like, yeah, come on. We got him full on. Yep. And it's like, nope. Johnny kicked out. And then it's like, how do you get rid of them? So, what does he do? He backdrops Adam Cole on the Undisputed Era on the outside. And then he just starts kicking them all, knocking them all out. He then gets in the ring, eats a super kick. We all thought, oh crap, he's dead. But no, he kept going. And then, as Lindsay mentioned at the top, tapped out right on his tooth at Adam Cole.
There were so many spots where it felt like there were so many near falls that I was falling for.
Oh, yeah.
This is one of those where the false finishes were really good and drawn out well. And other times, you know, it's like, oh, he hits this move. Oh, yeah, he's kicking at it too. With a lot of these, you were like, oh, this could legit be the end.
Like when he had the super kick and then came out of the corner and did the flip pile driver.
Yeah, the springboard Canadian destroyer.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I thought that was it. I was like, okay, that's the finish. I was like, okay. And then I was like, again, the spot where he knocked them all out and then the super kick. I thought, okay, Johnny had his moment. Boom, super kick. Down he went. Nope, he got back up again. It's like, okay, all right, All right. But Johnny's the champion.
Yes. Johnny Gargano has finally climbed to the mountain. He is your NXT champion. So Goldie is going to a good home. Candace comes out and celebrates. We celebrate with the family. Everybody's happy. Everybody's crying. We go up on the stage and it's like, well, is that it? Is that it? And it's like, no, it's never it. This is
takeover.
There's
the card at the bottom. We're okay. The card's at the bottom. And oh, shit.
And then out walks Tommaso Ciampa. And we're all sitting here and it's like, oh my God, what the hell is about to happen?
No.
And it's like, so I told Lindsay, like, we gotta wait for the credit. It's like, are we ready to do it? No, we gotta wait for the credit. Because it's NXT, you gotta wait for the credit. And you gotta wait till after the credit. And Tommaso walks up slyly behind Johnny Gargano. And Johnny's like, he's there. He's right there, right? He's behind me.
He's right there.
He's behind me. And then they hug. They celebrate. The three of them hug. And that was the end of the story.
Mama just, Wrestling forgave him.
I was just staring at this going, please fade to black.
Is it wrong that NXT has gotten me to the point where when Candace and Johnny were standing up there, my first thought was, oh dear God, please Candace, do not put them into the LED board.
No.
Because we're
all conditioned at this point.
I thought, you know, she was going to celebrate with him. It was going to be this great moment. And then she would turn to him and go, it's my moment. And just deck him.
Honestly, I told Rock during the match, I was like, you know, it's takeover tradition at this point. Somebody has to try to kill Johnny Gargano. That's just it. Like, that's takeover in a nutshell. It's like, it doesn't end until somebody tries to mess Johnny Gargano up. And Adam Cole delivered, but yeah, the ending of all three of them standing on the stage, hugging, smiling, having that moment together. It's number one, I'm not crying, you're crying. Number two, it's a fitting end to a story that we may never get the end to. Like, this was supposed to be the final chapter between Johnny and Tommaso, and unfortunately injuries prevented that from happening. And so they needed to find a way to end the story, because realistically, by the time Tommaso is better and he's ready to come back, Johnny may not be in NXT. He may be on the main roster, because they're not going to keep him down in NXT just for Tommaso. And as much as they want to tell that story.
And Tommaso just may go up on the main roster himself.
Yeah, that's the other flip side. Or he may be forced to retire, depending on what you hear. Like, he's got a potential career-ending injury, and he has a lot of thinking that he has to do, so he could call it a day and be like, you know what, had a great run, had an awesome time, don't think I can go any higher, don't think I can do any better, I'm out. Because Tommaso has an infant daughter, or infant child, I should say, I don't want to presume gender, it's 2019, and so he has a lot to think about.
So I'm going to read a tweet from Tommaso Ciampa. It's a picture of him and Johnny on the stage at TakeOver. The best wrestler alive, the greatest sports entertainer of all time, we are DIY. We are NXT, and one of us is the real NXT champion, Blackheart. So in a way, he's saying, yeah, Johnny's the best, but in another way, it's like, no, I'm the best.
We all know you are. I mean,
Tommaso,
you know.
Tommaso, you goddamn troll, I heart you.
So we knew he was going to.
Export in the chat room has a question. Do you think this was the best takeover? Yeah, until the next one. Because every takeover is the best one if you go on the internet. Am I wrong?
No.
Honestly, though, from top to bottom, all the card with the expectations that we had, possibly it could be.
I mean, say Brooklyn was still a little bit better.
Last year may have been better. There's been better stories going into the shows. Like, there were better stories, feuds leading up to shows with better matches. But it was good quality matches.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, every time, I mean, we have takeovers and they have some great matches, but it's, I'm thinking just fully constructed card.
There's been better cards.
There's been better cards, there's been better stories. Every takeover is good, and like you said, until the next one, and then that one tops it. But I mean, in terms of the top five takeovers or whatever, I don't even think I could name them. But there have been...
New Orleans.
Yeah, New Orleans was good. Every show has its high points, every show has its low points.
Yeah.
And that's how you have to look at it.
Yeah, for me, it really depends on... Honestly, it's almost a mood thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is a lot of high impact, you know, high paced wrestling in this one, but I also have attachment to, like, you know, how emotional Bayley's first win was. I want to go back and watch that match, you know, or the first Iron Woman match.
Yeah, there's really good. Every takeover has something good about it.
Yeah.
You can't define it. It's like, oh my God, this is the best because they always out deliver.
Yeah, like, you're asking me to choose between, like, cake and ice cream and pizza.
It's like, yeah. I love all three of these things.
I love it all. I want it all. Can I have it all, please?
Yeah, all three of these are the best.
For me, it's like, I don't look at it as this show is better than this show. Like, I don't watch WrestleMania and go, well, this year was worse than last year. Like, on typical shows, I don't do that because I don't, honestly, I don't necessarily remember the last show, depending on how much time has passed. So it's like, especially if it's been like 3 to 6 months, I don't remember everything that happened on that show. I just know it was a good show. So it's like, you know, for this one, this is just going to go in the file as this was a good show to me. I enjoyed it and I'm going to move on from it. So that's kind of how I view it.
And let's get this all out of the way. Oh my God, the main roster has to follow this. Oh my God, WrestleMania is going to suck because they have to follow a takeover. Stop. Stop.
Well, I mean, this was a really strong show, and they set the right tone for the weekend.
They did.
For WWE.
But yeah. Stop with the comparison. Just let WrestleMania be WrestleMania. Let TakeOver be TakeOver. Stop. Oh my God, the main roster can't compete with the NXT roster. Stop. Just stop that. Stop.
I mean, this is basically the thing that WWE structuring its entire weekend the same way they do as a pay-per-view. It's a hot open. You know, it's a nice, comfortable lull in the middle, and then we end huge.
You have your bathroom break of the Hall of Fame. You know, it's all good.
So mm-hmm. just can we stop with the narrative? Oh my God, the main roster came. Just internet, stop, please. Enjoy WrestleMania. Don't compare it to, because they're not the same type of show.
Yeah, it's completely unfair. In any way, it's still no Wrestle Kingdom.
Omega, no, just no.
So this is Omega's last appearance on the rack.
Omega.
Oh, that's how dumb it is to make the comparisons, okay. Though.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I know. But I mean, it's like if you were to take WrestleMania and you were going to take the top five matches on that show and put it up against TakeOver, then yeah, that could be a pretty apt comparison. But it's like you can't compare a show that had five matches with one that has 15. You can't do that.
Right. And he brings up the Wrestle Kingdom. G1's supercard tomorrow. It's going to have 12 matches in 4 hours. Enjoy that. That's your style, but...
In case you don't have enough wrestling this weekend.
4 hours, 12 matches. Remember that. Remember that's a lot of matches in a short period of time, and you're going to want more time for all those matches. Good thing WrestleMania's there. They got 12 matches on the main show with 5.5 hours. Enjoy that one.
Wait, how many total matches are there now that the Raw tag team titles have been
16
added?
16 matches. 88. 16 total matches are on the show so far announced.
Is it starting in 2 hours?
Feels like it.
Okay.
It feels like
it. Yeah, it's gonna be a long, long Mania. Mania always is. It's kind of one of those things that you have to get up after a while and walk away from it and then come back to it. Like you have to, because it's on forever. So you're just like, I can't sit here for 10 hours and watch this show. I can't do it.
You remember, like, no one here is old enough, but you know, movies used to have intermissions at like the 1 hour mark because
movies used to be like 3 and 4 hours.
That felt, yeah, but yeah, like that's what I need at WrestleMania. I need just like a half hour to just go like take a power nap.
They give you that. It's when Pitbull shows up and starts to perform. Remember that? The music performances? They give you that time.
Or Snoop.
I was gonna say a Baron Corbin match, but
I was giving you musical intermissions, but okay. Anyway, so Brent, this is where you come chime in with the stats and stuff.
Yeah, let's talk about the stats for tonight. So we're gonna start at the top. Lindsay, you did 4-1. Very well, very good job. Only got Bianca wrong. Omega, you got 4-1.
Okay.
Got Bianca wrong. I got 4-1, got Bianca wrong. Now, I want the three of us to realize we beat a toy.
I'm used to that.
The 8-ball went 3-2.
Woo, woo, go 8-ball, go 8-ball, go 8-ball.
It thought Dunn and Kairi Sane were going to win. Not bad choices.
I got
Bringing up the rear.
One right.
No, you got two.
Two, goddamn! I was trying for
you
only
had,
one.
You had the Vikings, because everyone picked the Vikings, and you at least thought the Austrian juggernaut was going to win, but you thought Matt Riddle, Bianca, and Adam Cole was going to win. So you got beat by an inanimate object, Rock.
Eh, eh. I was going for points on two of those matches, so let's be real. Let's be real. I was going for Matt Riddle for points and Bianca for points. Let's be real.
Your picks do not add to your point total. Like, we haven't tried that twist yet, where if you predict a match with one of your people and you win, you get a bonus point or some shit.
Yeah.
We're good. We're good. You're all good.
Okay.
Everything's being heard, so you're good.
Okay. Just making sure.
Keep going.
So, yes, the 8-ball won.
Well, the 8-ball came in second. Came in
second. It beat Rock, so therefore it won.
Oh, Lindsay dropped off the call. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That wasn't me. That's Lindsay dropping off the call. Okay, hold on.
We have half a host right now.
That was you, Lindsay. She's not even on the call. That one wasn't me. I've had enough internet issues. So we didn't get her back. This is not... Okay, so we're good. My internet pretty much stayed up. I'm looking. It's like, okay, we're good. Did she answer yet? No. Okay, that's her. Okay, so there's that. So I'm waiting on her. So yeah, that was a thing. That was a show.
Welcome to TakeOver.
that was a hell of a show.
Hell of a
show.
Okay, I'm back.
Hey!
That was you. That wasn't me. Don't try throwing it back towards me. And then you throw it back to me, and then she throws it back to her, and then we throw it back to Brent. He throws it back to me.
Shut up.
So the 8-ball, because you died, like, right in the middle where you're talking about the 8-ball, and she's like, so the 8-ball, and then just nothing. So what the hell happened?
So he threw it back to me, and I threw it back to him, and she threw it back to her.
That's the fucking tennis. Explain what happened.
Well, Brent invented the frisbee one day, and...
The 8-ball
beat Rock. He beat the 8-ball, except Rock. Rock finished dead last.
Yep.
There you go.
Because I was going for points. Anyway, that's our show.
You please explain to your co-host that picking somebody has no say on his points.
Omega, I don't think Lindsay and I have any room to talk in terms of points.
I just wanted to explain. It's like he's picking based on his points. That doesn't change anything.
We all do that, though.
Yeah,
we all do that.
No,
like, I was hoping to God Pete Dunne would win, and he didn't.
I play favorites for my team, so I stand by my team. That's all.
Yeah, but I know WWE logic, and I know my team's going to get fucked.
Your team's going to get fucked. My team got fucked.
My team is fucked right now.
I have Becky Lynch. I'm going to do fine.
My team's winning so far, so we're good.
Brett and I are fighting for dead last right now.
Anyway, that's our show.
That's our show. All right, Omega, plug your stuff.
So, if you want to see my stuff is all over the internet. You can find it over at TJ Reviews over on Facebook. Everywhere else, you can find it at TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with over 1,000 videos to watch. And then for some bonus content that YouTube doesn't like, it is over at TJOmega.net.
Right.
You guys can't see my stuff. My stuff is hidden. Well, except on Twitter. At King Kittens. And yes, we will do the count again. 1,993 days.
So
what did I say? 100 and something days I could take off?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 120 something?
Yeah. 126 days I could take off.
You could take off a third of a year.
Yeah.
So about that frisbee, Brent.
I threw it back to you, and you threw it back to me.
All right, so has everybody plugged their stuff?
They have. I have it.
All right, you go ahead.
So, tomorrow night, Super Radio Live, Midnight-ish, preview WrestleMania. We'll do the great debate on wrestlers and movies, all that fun stuff. It's Midnight-ish at Super Radio. Sunday night, Midnight-ish. God. If there's 7.5 hours of wrestling, it'll be Wrestle Talk Radio, whoever's awake. Talk all about it.
You assume I'll be alive.
I did say whoever's awake. So
you and me, Red Bull, let's go.
Maybe just me and Brent, because everyone else falls asleep. So who knows? Find out.
I'm telling you this right now. If they put the main event on at 11:15, 11:30, I'm not going to make it. I am seriously not going to make it. Because, you know, there are those of us that do have to work Monday morning. Just saying.
I have to work too.
WWE, that's on you.
Benefits of self-employment.
Monday night's Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern. You can check out the Rack Extra Reviews Ms. and Mrs. Episode 7 now available. Episode 8 will be available on Tuesday. We'll be back live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to do our version of the WrestleMania Review, SmackDown Throwdown, NXT Rundown, all that fun stuff. It's Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. At Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Twitch.tv/WTR Live. Follow and subscribe. Use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop.
You good? You got everything?
Mm-hmm.
Just tap, Rock. Just tap.
All right. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. So we will be around tomorrow. We'll probably be doing some incarnation of Fortnite with friends. We might be talking about the Hall of Fame. We might not. Just kind of depends on what's going on with it. But we'll at least be watching it while playing Fortnite if it's still on. So prepare for snarkiness there. And then, you know, all the shows that he told you about regarding WrestleMania. So, Hell Week. Hell Week, guys. It has begun. Yay.
I'm tired.
So, everybody, please check out all the very fine stuff that we're doing over this weekend, because it's going to be a lot, and everybody's working super duper hard, especially Rock, who has to produce every single show.
Produce. Every edit, single one. Every single thing.
Dude's going to be busy. So, yeah. So, please support it. Check it out. It's wildtalkradio.com, recradioshow.com. So, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be back Thursday with our review of WrestleMania. Till then, bye! Silence is my favorite sound. Watch me make them bow. One by one by one. One by one by one. Wildtalkradio.com.